You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
The New Zealand Professional Firefighters Union has recently voted to go on strike after Fire and Emergency New Zealand had refused their demands. The union claims that their industry is understaffed and underpaid, with working conditions that are unsafe and causing major health issues to workers without retribution. FENZ says they're surprised that a group dedicated to saving people's lives would put those same lives at risk by going on strike. However, NZPFU have made the efforts to try and do so at a time and make their strike as safe as possible for everyday civilians. To learn more, I spoke to NZPFU National Secretary Waddy Watson about their decision and their working conditions, first asking her to quickly explain why NZPFU has voted to go on strike.
So we've been in bargaining with the employer, Fire and Emergency New Zealand, since June last year. And the employer has failed to address some really key issues in the bargaining, and the wage offer is far too low for the bulk of our members. More than 65% of our members will only get a guaranteed 1.5 to 2%, and they haven't had a pay increase since 1 July 2020. And the employer wants this to be a two-year deal, so this would take them through to 2023.
I think
the other issues. Oh, sorry. Yep. The other issues are serious staffing issues, as you might have seen in the media recently. FENZ does not employ enough firefighters to cover the positions we already have, and they admitted in bargaining that the staffing ratio is wrong. The number of staff isn't sufficient to cover the normal annual leave, sick leave, long-term illness, etc., secondments and training. So as a result, firefighters are routinely working extraordinary hours that is damaging to their health, safety and well-being. And I am now getting told repeatedly that firefighters are working, there are some firefighters working more than 100 hours a week. And it's not unusual for them to do that. Most firefighters are working 70 plus hours a week. Now, that they can't keep that up. It's a physically demanding, dangerous job. They're exposed to carcinogens, and so every time they respond to a fire, they increase that risk of exposure to carcinogens. Every time they undertake medical response, they're exposed to trauma and their mental health suffers. And when you factor in fatigue, exhaustion, the lack of family time, the lack of personal time, the recipe is disaster. Now, FENZ needs to correct that. FENZ also needs to recognise the occupational cancers. They also need to, we've put in claims to get guaranteed mental health programs in the collective agreement, and there's a whole other range of issues. All of these matters affect the public safety as well as the firefighters. If these matters don't get dealt with and resolved appropriately, the impact on the service to the community suffers.
What do you think over the past few years has led Fire and Emergency to this point of kind of overworking their employees, and why hasn't much been said about it in the media, do you think?
So FENZ was established in 2017 to bring all rural, urban, vole and career firefighters and fire stations and under one organisation. And what has actually happened though, FENZ has used that and the additional funding to develop an extensive corporate structure that has lost its way. It no longer focuses on the point of a fire and emergency service, which is to resource and support its volunteers and careers firefighters to get out the door to undertake normal firefighting work, accident work, rescue work and medical response. So that is why we're at work today. There must be an inquiry into where FENZ's funding's gone, because FENZ has an increasing in funding. They've got an additional $350 million to unite the various brigades, and we aren't seeing that where that money's gone. And we are seeing a massive corporate structure with increasing numbers of employees in the HQ area, like in finance and media and those sorts of areas. Now, we accept there has to be an element of that in this organisation, but not to the extent it is, and certainly not to the extent of suffering the operational arm.
Why don't you think that FENZ has accepted your requests?
I think there's a number of reasons why they produce such a very poor offer. There is a couple of elements in the offer that are reasonable, and particularly for the recruit firefighters and the first level of firefighters. But they had to do that. Those increases were to prevent them from breaching the Minimum Wage Act. So while they have made some progress, it's very limited, and only where they've been really their hand has been forced. I think that Fenn's misunderstood the level of anger and disillusionment within, not just within the career ranks, but we're getting this information from volunteers and even rural brigades who are telling us how disaffected and devalued and disrespected they are feeling. And Fenn's has got its head in the clouds, and it needs to have its feet on the ground and actually genuinely listening to what is happening on the ground and what those feelings are. And if for the career firefighters, this has been particularly insulting. They are asking for matters that, sure, they need additional wages and allowances, but they're also asking for matters that help them for their health and safety, their safe systems of work, for proper care and resilience training for their mental health. And they're also asking for proper staffing and guaranteed systems so that we can have the right appliances and the right number of appliances and trucks that don't break down, or trucks that if they do their spares, etc., so that they can properly respond to the community. These are very broad issues. Yes, there are issues in there that are related solely to the employment, but the collective agreement is the place where we have to codify basic health and safety parameters and standards, because Fenn's is refusing to do that or to monitor that or even implement that outside of the collective. So we need to be able to protect our members while they're at work, and the only way to do that is to address these matters through the collective agreement.
Are these issues unique to fire and emergency workers, or are they seen across the emergency service industry?
I think that there are a lot of issues across the emergency services industry. But we've seen some progress in some areas. St John released a report recently that said 96% of their responses to cardiac events outside of hospitals were attended by Fenn's firefighters. Now, they'll be volunteer and career firefighters. Now, that's a huge number, 96%. Now, Fenn's has failed to go and get funding for the response to medical response, and this has grown incredibly since they really kicked it off in 2013. So there is obviously pressure on St John. That pressure is now flowing on to, and has been for some years now, onto the firefighters. And that is a health sector issue, and so therefore there is that pressure in the health sector. We've seen the nurses, we've seen the other health workers recently give notice of industrial action, including strike action, and that was resolved recently. These are the workers, these are the frontline workers that go out no matter what the weather conditions, continue to respond as the same as they did pre-COVID, during COVID, and now. Their lives, their health, their safety, their well-being is put on the line, and they really need to be respected and given safe working conditions and reasonable wages, so that they're not working excessive hours and actually do have some downtime, which is really, really important for their families and their well-being.
That was Waddy Watson from the New Zealand Professional Firefighters Union on their strike movement.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.